Welcome to tonight's Match Night Live preview show. I'm your host, Dermot Liddy. With me in the studio tonight, I have under-19 manager and reserve manager, Eddie Sadak, and with him is Kevin McLaughlin, Derry Journal sports reporter. Very good evening to you guys. Thanks for joining me.
No problem at all.
First of all, let's have a wee look back at last week's result down in Waterford. A very poor start, Eddie. The playing conditions were poor. It was like water polo at one point. The game got underway and eventually Derry lost. Not the start Kenny Shields would have wanted.
Certainly not the start any team wants. By all accounts, I listened to the guys on the live commentary. The match was lucky to go ahead. Could have been abandoned through the match. And you're up against, as was pointed out last week, a team that's just up. Big crowd. All the adrenaline's going. So everything was sort of in Waterford's favour. And also, I think we'll have to take into account this season that the pre-season preparation hasn't been ideal through no fault of the club's doing. It's just that the weather has cancelled sessions, there's been matches, cancelled trains. So I think Derry are probably a week or two behind the other teams who weren't so badly affected. No, that's not an excuse, that's just stating a fact. And hopefully, as this week goes on, tonight's match against Sligo, for instance, I expect a better performance.
Kevin, you were at the match in Waterford. Can I get your opinions on it?
It was disappointing. First of all, we were talking about the pitch and how bad that was. So the minute we arrived, you had like 4 pitch inspections, and then you're going, right, is this game going to go ahead? It does go ahead, but then you start to worry because, no disrespect, but last year the similar conditions at Sligo, wind and rain, and you're thinking, right, is Derry going to be a match for us? And they weren't, to be honest with you. The second half in particular, they couldn't get out at all. Waterford dominated, particularly in midfield. Keegan and Henry ran the show, and Derry just couldn't get out. Akinade does what Akinade does when he plays us. He always does well, gets at the defenders. He dived a few times, we know that, everybody knows that. But unfortunately, he was doing things. They won the ball, keep it up there, and they deserved their victory. It just wasn't a good performance on the night by Derry.
Eddie, at the game, Kenny was lamenting the fact that the pitch wasn't in great state of play, and he seems to think that his team were like a soft touch, that his players got bullied and then get kicked. How does he go about fixing that? I mean, this is a tough league. There's going to be tough encounters every game. And if he thinks they're a soft touch, how does he go about fixing that?
That's what your training sessions are for. He'll certainly have that. I would expect him to have that sorted for this week. Their first match, as we said earlier on, down in Waterford, was always going to be a sticky match. If you remember the season before when they went down to Finn Harps, the first match in Balbuffet, atrocious conditions, and after that it was all doom and gloom at the club. I heard people asking questions about Kenny. They ended up finishing third in the league, having a sensational season. So if it's one match, you know, things will get better. I've no doubt at all about that.
Kevin, we'll look forward to tonight's match in a little while, but we'll just reflect very briefly again on last week. You need to get points on the board early. Okay, it's away from home, and we're away from home tonight. Is it important now to get a point or 3 on tonight?
Well, it'd be great to get 3 obviously this evening, but it's a case if you get a point, you'll take it. Just a point on the board, get the thing going, get the momentum sort of building then. We've a good record then down at Bowes the week or the Tuesday after. Bowes have obviously got an unbelievable result against Shamrock Rovers, but as I say, Derry have a good record at Dillymount. So if you get a point this evening at Sligo, or obviously go for the victory, then you can build that on then down at Bowes, and then obviously we're all to Brandywell for the packed house against Dundalk. And the Brandywell's going to be massive this year. I know we keep saying any team when you're back at home, but particularly the surface too. And I know a lot of people old school aren't the biggest fan. I wouldn't be the biggest fan as a 4G surface, neither 3G surface, but it's a case of the way the players play and the way Derry and the way Kenny wants to play, it's going to suit them week in, week out. Get the ball down, knock it about. You're not going to get that in Waterford last week. You mightn't get it this evening at Sligo. You will get it every week in the Brandywell when they get back in there.
Fair enough. So just last point on last week's game, Kevin, I'm going to go to you because you were there. Go and give me the positives from the Waterford game. There must be one or two. Surely you can pick some of them out.
Well, Ananovic scoring his goal. He done reasonably well too at centre-half. Made a few challenges, won a lot there. And to be honest, Nicky Lowe did a few things in the first half, but there wasn't that many positives. It's just one of them evenings, first game away from home. The big positive was obviously getting the goal from Ananovic. And as I say, he done reasonably well. His first game in there alongside Cole. Akinade was always going to cause everybody a problem, but he did reasonably well again, so he was the man that I would be looking for the positive.
Well, thanks for that, fellas. So, last week, Kenny lamented the fact about some of the pitch, the referee's performance, and the pre-season not going very well. He was talking to Match Night Live reporter, Paddy Cook, and let's have a listen to what he had to say regarding tonight's game.
Kenny, disappointed and frustrated this week. With the result in Waterford, you'll be hoping to bounce back against Sligo Rovers this week.
Yes, I will. I hope we can. For the people around the city and around the club, that we would like to get a victory pretty soon. I said we were 3 weeks behind schedule, and so we're still a bit behind, but we're working really hard to catch up on the fitness levels where we can get good venues to train, and this week's been quite good in terms of the Weller. So we're getting there, we're catching up, we're improving, and hopefully we can give a good account of ourselves against Sligo Rovers.
Of course, Sligo will be hoping to punch back as well. What I've heard, Jared Little's team was on top of their game. Maybe deserved not to lose a game on Saturday night. They'll be looking for that home one as well.
I'd agree with that. They were quite good, I thought, and they had good passages of play. They were unfortunate. They had four really good chances in the first half. And they've got quite a potent attack, and it won't be an easy fixture, there's no doubt. Sligo's a hard place to go, as they say, and to get a result there would be fantastic. So we'll do everything we can to try and achieve that.
Like yourself, you've made a lot of changes to the Derry City team this year. Jared Little has made a lot of changes. The young Liverpool started up there as well. They're hoping for big things for him. Did you watch him on Saturday night? What did you think?
Yeah, I was at the game. The back four were all, and goalkeeper, were all players they had last season. McCabe in the middle of the park was a player they had last season, and there was four new players in their team, and it was Pincelli, the midfield player, was quite good. McAleer, wide right, was very, very quick. Alistair Roy, who I know from Scotland, and Morgan, the centre forward. So they've got good players in. They brought in David Colley as well. So, no, they're a good side, and they've got Adam Wickstead, who could come in this week. And they've got Rafa Crotaro is available as well. So these are players who can test you, and we've got to be right on the button for this one.
Of course, Aaron McAnuff took a little knock last week at the start of the game, played on, so did Nicky Lowe. How have them two come round this week from the early knocks and that?
Yeah, the referee booked three of our players last week, which was quite extraordinary. When you take the kickings that our boys got, and you know, teams are coming in quite heavy-handed on us, and we got to be stronger and bigger and stand up to that, because they are looking at ways in which they can unsettle us. And they've both come through okay this week in training, so we need to be prepared for another fight and committed to a battle for Friday night, and we will be ready and see how it goes.
Of course, the transfer window shuts very soon. Of course, you lost out on Sean Kavanagh this week. You must be frustrated with that way an early Ireland team haven't needed a post to get a player. You were pretty confident in that you had him.
It wasn't a matter of pipping us to the post. We had done the agreement with Fulham, and Fulham paid. And Fulham paid him up under our instructions. So I was really, really hurt by it, because we did all the spade work, all the administration on it. And as soon as we had that done, Rovers come in and signed him. I'm not blaming Shamrock Rovers. It's hard to swallow. It's hard to swallow that, because he's a very, very good player. And I was delighted to get him, which I thought. But then I came in on Monday morning, and he came on to meet me and said he's going. He's trained with us. He's stayed in the city. We've put him up in accommodation. And he's gone to Shamrock Rovers. So that's the end of that one. So we have to look at something else then.
Of course, will the transfer open shortly? Can you expect to bring somebody in before it closes?
It's going to be hard. It closes at 5 o'clock on Thursday. Their office is closed, so for international clearance, if you're wanting a player from another country, England, Scotland, their offices will close at 5. So it would have to be done before that, which is very, very doubtful.
Back to the game, Ferdinand Kenny. Of course, you had 4 or 5 of your new signings on display last week. A few of them out injured as well. Can we expect any more of them to feature in your team this week, back from injury?
Well, we'll see. It's too early to say what we have back this week. Owen Toll should be ready to come back in soon. And I can't really say who's going to be ready, but it doesn't look like Hopkirk or Kofi will be in, unfortunately.
Okay, Kenny, good luck.
Thank you.
That was our Match Night live reporter, Paddy Cook, talking to the gaffer there. Let's just, before we move on to the Sligo game tonight, Eddie, he sounded very disappointed there that he lost out in the signing of Sean Kavanagh.
He certainly did. By all accounts, Kavanagh's a good player, and it's not just the losing out on them. I think it's the way it went, the way it happened. As he says himself, when you do all that work, there's a bit, you do your due diligence, you contact clubs, there's a whole lot of work that's done in the background. It's not just a question of phoning a player up and saying, can you sign? There's a whole mountain of work. He comes up to the city, stays here, trains. You think, obviously, until he signs on the dotted line, you don't have him in the bag, but to lose him like that, it's a sore one to take. And but you just have to move on. You can't dwell on it. You just have to move on and get something else.
Indeed. Eddie, we'll stay with you here with this question. Showgrounds, Sligo, always a difficult place to go and get a point or three. Derry have struggled there in recent seasons to get good results. As Kenny said there, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a tussle, and it'll be no different tonight.
It won't be any different. Having said that, the pitch down the Showgrounds is like a carpet, if it's anything like it was last season, an absolute billiard table, which should certainly suit Derry, because I know Sligo, Gerard Little likes his teams to try and play, so the two teams will be much as the way they want to play, so it'll be, perhaps it's a case of who really wants it more, and Derry will be hurting from last week's performance, and they will get better. But if Sligo played very well and didn't win against a Limerick team who many people would have been tipping to be one of the relegation candidates, they've just promoted their under-19 manager to be their senior manager, signed a hatful of journeyman footballers, as it were, so they were definitely a team people were looking at, so it would have been a sore one for Sligo to take as well. That was a home match for them, it's another home match for them. If they don't win or don't get something, a decent performance again, they could be in trouble.
Kevin, Sligo have tasted relative success over the last 6 or 7 seasons, being league champions in 2012, FAI Cup winners 2011, 2013, and throw in the League Cup in 2010. Certainly more successful than Derry has been this last few seasons. So the people down there are expecting big things from their club, because as we all know, Sligo are real football people, like ourselves here in Derry. But, if they don't win tonight, is Gerard Little under a wee bit of pressure, 2 home games and no points?
Wouldn't say pressure, it's still too early, it's a second game. I actually did a piece with Kevin Derry this week. I spoke to him and he rightfully was sort of saying, you're not looking at league tables, you're not looking at anything like that at this stage. Both teams just wanting to get a victory. The only problem for Gerard Little is last week's home game, they had over 3,000 at the game, and that's a big crowd for a League of Ireland, particularly for a team that didn't run anything last year, just avoided relegation, but the community came out and supported them. They'll probably have another big crowd this evening again, and it's just a case of can Derry weather that storm and get the result. I don't think he'll be under pressure if he doesn't get a result, but I think Eddie's right, it's going to be difficult, so if Derry get anything down there, it's a massive bonus for them.
Positive news coming through there, Eddie, that both Nicky Lowe and Aaron McAniff, who did take knocks last week in Waterford, are eligible as in fitness wise to play.
That's a big bonus. The two key players for the team, they both performed for the most part of last season, they were one of some of the top players, and hopefully they'll turn in a decent performance tonight.
So we're going to have a look at Ref Watch tonight and see who the man in charge is, and of course it's the very experienced Paul McLaughlin, one of the FIFA referees in the League of Ireland. Paul hails from around the Burnfoot area in Donegal, but he's a Garda officer stationed in Monaghan since 2002. And he refereed Derry 4 times last year. He refereed the one away at Bowes. He refereed the one at home to Dundalk. I refereed the loss to Dundalk and the loss to Cork. And he, in his games, he dished out a total of 10 yellow cards and one red. And he's not really a card referee. He has dished out 312 cards over 89 games in the Premier League, which isn't a bad return. He's actually mid-table when it comes to the cards. So he's the experienced whistler in charge tonight. And although some Derry fans may argue with me, I believe he's arguably in the top two when it comes to the panel of referees. So it's a big game for him, and no doubt he'll handle it okay. Now, we're going to round up last week's results, and we're going to look forward to tonight and tomorrow's other games around the League of Ireland Premier with our man in Dublin, the one and only Mr. James O'Toole.
So what have we learnt after match day one of the 2018 season? As the music suggests, we must start at Aimon Park, where Bowes have shown they know how to strike while the iron's hot. And of course, they also know where to get their next meal. Salt and vinegar on that one for Paddy, please. For Rovers, they've shown how their youth policy is working, with not one of their starting 11 coming up through the club. While at St Pat's, they're going to be a much more competitive team than most people expected, in particular Cork. Well, Cork have very impressive strike force with McNamee and Cummins, both starting very well. At Dundalk, just like last season, they've made so many personnel changes that it's going to take a while for them all to gel, and they started off poorly and looked disjointed. Well, Bray, they're just Bray. Sligo, again, played well but still can't defend crosses into the box. And while Limerick will huff and puff and use the big lads just to get the goals, so no change there. And finally, Waterford's pre-season obviously took in some water polo sessions, as they look better underwater than Derry did last Friday night in the RSC. So now on to match day two, and we start this week with the Munster Derby as Cork City welcome Waterford to Turner's Cross. Both got off to the ideal start last week, and tonight they will be looking to secure the bragging rights over their neighbours, albeit for just a couple of months until they meet again. Cork will be without striker Cummins after his sending off last Friday, while Waterford came through their game with a healthy squad. This should be a good game to see exactly how good Waterford will be this season. Unfortunately for them, I expect a home win in this one. Next up, and it's the game between Bray and St Pat's. Bray created very little last week against Dundalk, but their new winger Corey Garvin showed some nice flashes of brilliance, but Gary Rogers was up to anything he could throw at him. Their opponents tonight lost out to a late Saturday goal on Friday night, but for most of the game they showed what they are capable of. I fully expect St Pat's to win this game, and with only two games gone, pressure will already be mounting on Dave Mackey at the Carlisle Grounds. The game between Shamrock Rovers and Doyle and Dock finishes off our Friday night games, and it's probably the pick of the games tonight. Stephen Bradley's men will need to play a whole lot better than they did last week, and despite a viral campaign about football loving you during the winter, the management seem to have abandoned all youth from their first team, and they've also abandoned the knowledge of how to play football. The only thing that was in true danger of the Rovers' attack last weekend was any low-flying birds around Dalyman Park. From Dundalk, as I've already said, they have a lot of new players to gel into their squad. They did create chances against Bray, but they just couldn't finish them, which is probably something Stephen Kenny will need to sort out very, very quickly indeed. This is going to be a tough game between two battling teams, and one I think Dundalk might just edge out on the night. Finally, a quick look at tomorrow night's game between Limerick and Bowes in the Markets Field. Both had good wins last Friday and Saturday night and would look to make the most of them starts and push on. While Limerick looked okay against Sligo, you had to be impressed with the way Bowes kept their nerve when behind against Rovers to come back and win with ease. This will be a tight affair and could well be the only draw of the weekend. And with that, it's back to you, Dermot, in the studio.
Thank you very much, James O'Toole there, our man in Dublin, with the roundup. And looking forward to the rest of the games around the league. Now, we just have to reflect on what James said there. In the 10-team league, Eddie, you know, Limerick got a one last week when they were unfancied against Sligo. Bowes got off to a great start. And Bray got a great point at Dundalk. It shows you how tight. And, you know, people can't really predict where teams are going to lose points or gain points. It's that difficult.
The league will take a few weeks to settle down. But once it settles down, I'm quite sure we'll see Cork and Dundalk, the top two teams, with the, you know, probably hopefully Derry and Rovers vying for a third and fourth place. We would hope as the previous years. But it's, what's going to definitely going to is going to breed a little bit of familiarity with between the teams. Whether that's going to be good for the fans, good for the teams, good for the league, I'm not too sure. I'm not sure if the 10-team league is the answer to the FAI's problems. But that's the way it's been designated to go, so they'll have to get on with it. But it's, it'll be tight. But I think as the weeks go on, we'll probably see a small two leagues, if maybe four or a five-team league and a five-team at the bottom, five teams at the top. The league will sort of separate once the cream comes to the top.
And Kevin, do you think it's going to be equally tough at the top and bottom? It's going to be tight this year?
It is, and I think Gary's right. The four matches in the league that you play each other, I did a piece with Kenny last week and he was sort of saying it's like tribalism, man. It gets the, and you're playing, you could end up playing anybody maybe six or seven times. If you get them in the League Cup, you get them in an FAA Cup and a replay and all these things. So look, and once that happens, you get them players remembering that tackle and this and that, and that goes on. So it is going to be tight, there's no doubt about it. And as you said earlier, you know, Bray getting a point down at Dundalk, nobody fancied that. I don't think the bookmakers fancy it because Dundalk were 1-5. And it's that type of thing where you're sort of thinking, right, they're going to hit the ground running. But as Eddie says, it takes a time to get everybody going. And I have to agree with him. I think it's just going to be the two boys again, Cork and Dundalk, fighting out for the title.
Right, tonight's match, back to it, down the showgrounds. Difficult place. I've been many a time and I've come away so disappointed. Tonight, I hope, is going to be different. Let's look at the positives. Derry have made a couple of new signings this week. Eddie, your take on top of the hill man, Niall Ogue?
He played for the reserves last week. We played him left back. I know he can also play centre half. He's a big, strong lad. We actually tried to get him in for the underage set-up before he moved to America. And he went there and done a scholarship, and good luck to him. So he's back. He's very keen, very athletic, really has an enthusiasm about him that would enthuse the other players round about him that play with him. So he's a good signing, and Jack Doyle is hopefully going to be a decent signing as well.
Hopefully the Blackburn Rovers have set him up to play his football in Derry like the way he should do. Kevin, more great news coming from the camp last night before the window shut, that Conor McDermott put pen to paper and has signed until 2020.
Yeah, great news, as Eddie's alluding to there too, but Jack Doyle, getting him in is good to give a wee bit of balance to the left-hand side. Ben has done well, but he knows himself, Ben Doherty's not a natural left-back, so it's just a case of trying to get somebody in there. But Conor coming in and signing that contract extension is exactly what you want. You want to keep these young players, keep them hungry, keep them signed to the club. The better they do, yes, they might get a chance across the water, but you don't want to be letting these young lads just leave for nothing. So getting him signed up to 2020 is a great bit of business, not just by Kenny, but for the club itself.
Well, we can look at what Sligo have done. You know, they've signed Patrick McLean. They've got Callum Waters over from Kilmarnock. And, you know, they've signed Beanie from Chelsea. So this is the time of season where it's all people are signing and people are moving and transferring and coming in and going out. But the dust has settled now because the door and the window, the door's closed, the window's shut. And now the teams will settle down. I'm sure Patrick McLean will be dying to make his debut and make a mark against Derry.
I think so. He didn't want to leave in the first place. He got promotion with Waterford. He was their captain for a good part of it. So I'm sure it's actually quite a good move for him. Sligo, a full-time team with a bit of potential, decent crowd. So from a personal point of view, I know Patrick, I hope things go well for him. Not particularly tonight when they play Derry, but thereafter I'd like to see him do well.
Kevin, the danger man for Sligo against us, McAleer, McCabe, you know, they can cause problems. But as Eddie said earlier, it can be a carpet surface at the showgrounds, and that will assist Derry, do you think?
Well, surely. Morgan up front's the lad they signed from Liverpool. He's the goal scorer that they're all sort of pinning their hopes on. But you're right, the surface will suit Derry. If it is the usual showgrounds pitch, I'm hoping they see the heels and Nicky Lowe linking up. Obviously, we're then up top two. Patterson, they maybe get the break it up and get this goal. Like any striker, you just want to get a goal. You just get the season kickstart. And I would say both Heels and Rory Patterson in particular will be looking to get that goal. So, look, we're all looking forward to this season's game, and it's just a case now of let's bring it on.
Eddie, just what Kevin said there, there's a few Derry fans have been talking to me this week, and they were saying they're kind of concerned about where the goal scorer is going to come from Derry this year. Obviously, Patterson's a target man, but who do you think will chip in and help out?
Hopefully the two Hales are going to be their goal scorers along with Rory. Rory had a difficult time with injuries last season, but he's an experienced player, and every season he's played, to be fair to him, for sometimes he gets a bit of criticism, but he generally generally, apart from last season, ties in with a good number of goals. So we'd expect him to get the goals, as I say, the Hale brothers. And it's you can't just leave it up to the two strikers or the threes. Everybody has to weigh in with goals. Aaron McAniff's got to weigh in with goals. Nicky Lowe should be weighing in with goals. You know, you can't just leave it to two or three players.
And Kevin, you know, the season's going to really kick off for Derry. They're going to aim for these 3 points. Is it important to get the points on board? Now, never mind the performance. Derry people are always crying about the performance sometimes. You know, is it important now to get the 1 point or the 3 points on, and never mind the performance?
Well, sometimes you want both in an ideal world, but, you know, just to get the season started up, and Ron said it earlier, just get a point, maybe get 3 points a season, and then move it on then to Bohemians, where it's two big pitches, two decent services at Sligo, and then down at Dillymount. So look, Derry will, looking forward to it, and it's just a case of, if you can get a point this evening, get the 3 points, and just move the show on.
Well, that's it, fellas. You know, time has passed us by yet again, and time flies when you're getting a lot of insights from people in the know, and it's great to get your opinions, and how they're voiced is very, very insightful. It's great to have you as guests. That's my guests, Mr. Eddie Sadek, Derry Reserves and Under 19 Manager, and Kevin McLaughlin from the Derry Journal Sports Department. It's been a wonderful evening, guys. A big, massive thank you to all out there listening. Come on, the city tonight. Let's bring the 3 points home from the showgrounds. And we're going to hand over now to the Match Night Live commentary team down there in the showgrounds.